Welcome to Let's Talk. I'm Leslie Miller, and I'm the head of school at Geneva School of Burney. And I've been fascinated with how education shapes children and young adults for over two decades. I'd like to share with you the information and experiences that I have accumulated over that time in the hopes that it might help you with what might be the most important job you have, educating your child. Today's talk is all about high school transcripts and college admissions, which I know sounds super exciting, right? But my goal is to alleviate some possible anxiety and set you and your child free to pursue the education that's best for him or her, rather than an education you think is necessary to please a college admissions officer, or at least I'm hoping that might be a step in the right direction. So this topic was inspired by a question that several parents at my school have recently asked. And I've done a little digging, and it seems that the initial concern was generated by something that a group thought they heard, or perhaps that an admissions representative misspoke during a college visit. I believe it was to Auburn University. Some of the parents on that visit came back with the mistaken belief that our school's grade point scale hampers or prevents students from being admitted to Auburn and by extension to other schools. The irony is that our school has an excellent track record of admissions at Auburn, and most of the students who were on that very admissions visit were ultimately admitted. However, the impression seems to have lingered, so my goal is to alleviate some of those fears and provide a little clarity about how colleges perceive high school GPAs and transcripts. If you're from my school, by the way, and I have the background story wrong, I hope you'll let me know. But even if I do, the remaining content of this podcast is accurate. It comes from over 15 years of working with college admissions deans around the country, both as a parent and as an administrator. So let's get started. If you're a parent or a high school student thinking or worrying about college admissions, the first task is perspective. It's easy for anxiety to spool up in a vacuum. Let's begin by talking a bit about the landscape of college admissions selectivity. So here's what I want you to understand from that. The bottom line is that colleges have very different criteria. Now, they generally use the same processes for evaluating applicants, but they're looking for different standards. Let's contrast a couple to give you an example. Hillsdale, for example, a small, conservative liberal arts college in Michigan, looks for very different attributes and orientations than, say, the University of California, which is a huge multi-school system. But both of these schools are in the same admissions selectivity category. So to understand what a college is looking for in its applicants, you will not only have to identify how hard it is to get into, but what the school is looking for in, specifically in its applicants. But let's back up. What do I mean by an admission selectivity category? So this is a general measure of how hard it is to get accepted to a college. And it's based on the percentage of applicants that are accepted. And there are several different scales floating around in the world of college admissions. Now, don't confuse college selectivity with the quality of the education you're receiving. There are schools that are highly selective that you might not want to go to even if you got in. And there are other schools that have a lower selectivity index at which you might get an excellent education, especially in the specialty that you're interested in. Also, keep in mind that selectivity is one of the things that colleges are increasingly ranked on, which means there are a lot of schools out there that have learned to play the game of getting high school students to apply to them. Whether or not those students are qualified for what that school is looking for, just so that they can turn them down. In other words, there are a couple of ways to get your selectivity rating higher. One is to be pickier. Another one is to just get more students to apply. University of Chicago, by the way, is a master at the latter. But let's look at an example of a school that's highly selective. Harvard, obviously, is at the very top. In 2023, they admitted 3.41%, that's less than 3.5% of the students that applied. That means for every 100 students, less than 4 got in. That average, however, doesn't tell the whole story. White males who were not first-generation college students or recruited athletes had less than half that chance of being admitted. That's even if they were valedictorians with perfect test scores. But Of course, there are a lot of reasons why you might not want to go to Harvard. It is, however, an example on any scale of being in the highest category, which is often called the most selective and is defined as accepting fewer than 15% of its applicants. Let's contrast that with a different school. Let's pick, say, Oklahoma State University, which, by contrast, in 2023, accepted 71% of its applicants. For every 100 high school seniors that applied, 71% were accepted. What a student must be and achieve to be admitted to Harvard is very different from OSU. So keep that in mind. And when you start hearing talks about the things that you must or should do to get into college, don't let that general admission standards or admission standards from schools that are more selective than the ones you're targeting freak you out. So let me give you an analogy. I'm not an athlete, but I do work out regularly, and I have for years. My personal goal is to stay active and healthy as long as possible, which I believe will make me happier both now and in the future. I'm willing to sacrifice several hours a week and a small amount of physical discomfort to accomplish these goals. But I go to a gym where, at certain times, high school boys gather, particularly around the free weights. It's clear that their goals are very different from mine. Large biceps and trapezoids seem to be what they're focused on. It would be foolish of me to feel compelled to adopt their workout or to get anxious about the fact that I wasn't doing it. If I did, I'd have to spend way more time at the gym doing things I enjoy even less than the things I already do. I'd likely stress my body in ways that risk injury without any realistic path to success. Even if I could succeed, I really wouldn't be happy having the musculature of a male teenage gym rat. So, as I walk through the various factors in college admissions over the rest of this talk, please don't start focusing on what it takes, for example, to be an Olympic weightlifter, when what would really make you happy would be long-distance running. All right, enough of the analogy, I know. Let's get into the details of those admissions factors. Let's talk about grades, specifically high school GPAs and college applications. Now, there are lots of different ways that high schools calculate GPAs, and all of them, enable students to get into college, even highly selective colleges, like Harvard, for example. There are 4-point scales, 8-point scales, 12-point scales, and even narrative reports that don't give a number grade at all. There are scales with bumps for advanced courses, and there are scales without bumps for advanced courses. That means on a scale with bumps, a 4.0, for example, on a 4.0 scale, a student might get as high as 6.0 or higher. On a scale without bumps, a 4.0 is the highest you can get on a 4.0 scale. Now, colleges are too sophisticated to be tricked into preferring students by manipulation of their GPAs. They've seen it all, and they are really good at what it is that they're trying to accomplish. They're good at decoding the data that any GPA scale provides. They do so by treating the weighted GPA and the unweighted GPA differently and gathering different data from each. Let me break that apart for you. When a high school student submits their transcript to a college, now the transcript is the document from the high school that shows the courses you've taken, the grade, the letter grade that you got in those courses, and then the GPA weight that the high school gives to those courses and your cumulative GPA for your time in high school. So when a college gets that document from the high school, they're looking for 4 things. First, did the student take the hardest courses available? Second, where does the student fall within his or her class? Third, how does the student compare with other applicants from other schools? And fourth, what do we know about this school? And how does it prepare students to succeed? Let's take those in order. Did the student take the hardest classes available? So the more selective a school is, the more important it is that an applicant has taken the hardest courses available to them. I sat through an admissions sessions once where one of the schools in the most selective colleges category, and a question was asked by an applicant, should a student trying to come to your school prioritize getting an A and maybe taking in an easier course to get it, or should the student take the hardest courses and possibly get a B? The dean of admissions responded, yes and yes, meaning the student should take the hardest courses and get A's in them. But remember, that's a most selective college. Now, this is where the college profile that every high school prepares comes into play. At our school, you can find it on our website under our college advising tab. Colleges compare the student's transcript to the profile, which lists the courses available to the students. And then the college evaluates the choices that the student has actually made by looking at their transcript. Okay, at this point, parents often start to worry about students at other schools who might have access to more AP classes or IB or dual credit classes than those at our school. Don't, for three reasons. First, colleges will tell you, and they mean it, that students are never penalized for not taking courses that were not available to them. Oh, but parents say, if a school offers a lot of AP classes, doesn't that indicate to the college that it's a more rigorous education? And the answer to that is not really. Colleges know how to evaluate the quality of the education the student is getting at a particular high school. And we'll talk more about that when we talk about high schools developing relationships with colleges in just a few minutes. By the way, it makes sense that a college wouldn't penalize a student for not having access to a course. Imagine what it would be like if we lived in a world where they did. There'd be this arms race of high schools trying to offer every possible course available. And then, of course, no student can take all of them, and they'd all be penalized for not taking them. Colleges, again, are smarter than that. Second, colleges themselves are increasingly skeptical of APs and IBs, which are, by definition, teaching to the test. AP classes, by the way, are structured explicitly to cram the content for the AP test, a test which was created by the College Board, who makes a great deal of money off of charging testing fees and training fees for the teachers who then teach the students to that test. Third, a high school student's college counselor is asked to write a letter for each applicant. Now, this is one of the most important parts of the application process. One of the goals of this letter is to highlight for the college the academic choices that the student has made. Do the realities, for example, of scheduling impose limits that are not obvious from the school profile? For example, is it impossible for a student to take AP chemistry and AP bio because they're offered at the same time? The college counselor is the one who makes that clear. So if you are at a school like ours, a small private school with a college counselor who knows each senior well, then you've got a great position from which that college counselor can do an outstanding job of helping colleges understand each student's course selection. By the way, at our school, our academic profile shows that all of our courses are taught at an honors level. That's the baseline for our classes, and anything above that is at a higher than honors level. And colleges give us credit for that. Colleges see our graduates as having taken harder courses than the basic courses at an average public school. If you're at a school where the college profile says that, then your students will get credit for it as well. Okay, so the second question that colleges are seeking to answer when they look at a student's transcript is, where does this student fall within her class? This is where the weighted GPA comes in, and that's the GPA that the school reports. It includes any additional weight or bumps for advanced high school classes, again, like those AP courses. It also includes all of a student's grades, including those for electives. Some schools have several tiers of classes and tiers of bumps. We only have two. All of our classes are taught at an honors level, as I've already mentioned, and there's no bump for that because it's our baseline. There are a few classes, mostly AP, taught at a higher level of rigor, justifying a bump. So does that mean that our students are at a disadvantage to schools that start at a lower level and therefore give a bump to honors classes? Not at all, but let me explain. Colleges use the weighted GPA for only one purpose, and that's to determine where a student falls within their class. And by that, I mean their specific high school class at their school. Let me pause and say that again. Colleges use the weighted GPA, the one the school reports, and that includes all the bumps, for only one purpose: to determine where a student falls within his or her class. It's only used for an internal comparison of an applicant to the other students in that applicant's high school class. It isn't used to compare students from one high school to students of another. Colleges use something else for that, which we will discuss in a minute. And again, this makes sense if you think about it, because colleges know that these schools have different weights or bumps. So comparing weighted GPAs from one school to those of another is like comparing, I don't know, apples and puppies. Remember that the job of college admissions officers is to admit students that will do well in college. One of the other criteria in college rankings is the 4 and 5 year graduation rates. So college admissions officers want to find students that will come, stay, and graduate. College admissions offices are very sophisticated, and they're really good at finding those applicants. So, why doesn't our school rank students? And why do no private schools rank students? Wouldn't that just make it so much easier for the college to determine exactly where the student falls in his or her class? Well, yes and no. At our school, by the way, we do rank the top couple of students, but only as far as necessary to allow those students to qualify for our Texas Automatic Admissions Program. Beyond that, we do not rank, and no private school ranks, and increasingly very few, though at least the most elite public schools, don't rank either. And that's because where a student within a small pool finds him or herself is really not statistically relevant. Whether a student ranks first or sixth within a class of 50 or 60 or even 100 is less a function of the ability and effort of that student than it is a function of the characteristics of the small pool that that student happens to find themselves in that year. So what our school and, frankly, most private schools do is to provide some historical quartile information. If you've looked at colleges, you know that colleges will provide quartile information on their SAT and ACT scores, for example. They provide that range between the 25th and 75th percentile where most of their admitted students fall on their ACT or their SAT testing. And that's a way that you can measure whether or not you as an applicant or your student, if you are a parent of an applicant, is within the range that is a good fit for that college's admissions process. Well, this is the high school's version of the same thing. A high school will provide the historical quartiles so that a college gets a general sense of into which quartile of a class any particular student falls. Our academic profile reports the top GPA of the last several classes and the median GPA. And that's all that a college uses the weighted GPA for. They compare it against the profile and that historical quartile data to see roughly where does the student fall within their own class. So again, it's only used to compare an applicant against other applicants from the same high school, not against anyone else, and all students from any particular high school obviously have the same GPA scale. So no particular GPA scale is going to have an outsized impact one way or another on any individual applicant's admission status. So how do colleges compare students from one high school against applicants from all the other high schools? Our last two questions address this issue. So the next question, the next issue that colleges are looking at when they look at a high school transcript is, how does this student compare with the applicants from other schools? And in this, you need to stop and consider the fact that colleges know how to compare apples to apples because it's their job to do so. So if a weighted GPA varies so widely, how do colleges compare students from one high school as apples to apples against students from another high school? Not surprisingly, they have a very clear process for doing so. Colleges will take that student's transcript. Remember, it shows the courses that the student has taken, the letter grade that the student has received, and then the translation of that letter grade into the school's GPA and the student's cumulative GPA. So they will take that transcript and convert the grades in the core classes to the college's own GPA scale. The next question is obviously, well, what are core classes? For most colleges, that means literature, math, science, history, and foreign language. As you can tell from the list, they don't consider electives, which they presume are graded more graciously than the core classes, and they focus on the classes that they want to make sure their future students prioritize in high school. And they look at the letter grades, again, the letter grades from those classes, and translate those into the college's own internal GPA. So, for example, a student with an A in English at our high school gets the same recalculated GPA as a student with an A from our local public high school, or, I don't know, Phillips Exeter for that matter. Colleges use this recalculated GPA to compare students to students from our high school to students from another high school. And this is really as close to apples to apples as anyone can get. So remember, they've already given students credit for taking the courses at whatever level they took it, at a higher level if they took higher level classes. So the advantage for taking higher level courses has already been calculated in another part of the process. Also remember that this is another reason why an internal GPA scale has no impact on how students from one high school are compared to students of another. The college recalculates the GPA into their scale, looking at the courses that matter to them. So what's the final question that a college is seeking to answer when they look at a student's transcript? It's, what do we know about the high school and how it prepares students to succeed? Students from some high schools actually do have an advantage over students from other high schools. It's got nothing to do with the GPA scale, but it does have something to do with that college's experience with students who have come from that high school in the past. One of the myths of college admissions is that schools need to somehow develop relationships with colleges, which for many parents sounds like our college counselor is taking their admissions deans out to dinner. In reality, again, colleges are really good at analyzing their own data. If students from a particular high school have a record of doing well at a college, the college makes note and rationally has a positive orientation towards future students from that high school. In fact, colleges actually maintain a database where they can compare the high school GPA of an applicant to the high school GPA of previous applicants from that high school that were admitted. So students at the college who came from that high school, and they'll look at the GPA of the student at the college, the student's already there, and they'll compare that student's progress and performance at college and look at their GPA and then look at the applicant from the high school and say, okay, this applicant from this high school has got a 4.0, and then in the past, students from this high school with a 3.5 or better have done really well here. So it's clear there's a good chance that this applicant will do well. They're that sophisticated in triangulating their own data. So if your child applies to a college where a previous graduate from your high school has gone, or better yet, multiple, and those previous graduates have in general a good track record, then you can be rest assured that your high school has a good relationship with those colleges. So how do you know which schools those are? The first thing you do is go to that academic profile, again, which for our school is listed on our website under our college advising tab, and it will list a list of colleges that your students have been accepted to and will often indicate which ones were schools where they actually matriculated. And you can talk to your college admissions counselor, who in our case is the fabulous Shelley Ward, and they'll be able to tell you more about what information they have on how students have done at those colleges. So how do I know all of this? I've been involved in the college admissions process for over a decade, both as a parent as an administrator, and I've personally met with more than a dozen college admissions administrators. But more importantly, while I worked at another school, I worked directly with the dean of admissions at one of these most selective schools, who was also a parent at my school. So I benefited from having had someone from the inside walk me through the whole process. All right, let me ask you, have you heard cocktail party chatter or athletic stands chatter about some star student with straight A's who didn't get into their dream college, or even a mediocre student who went to a particular school and then skated into the college of their choice? Please put all of that in the category of other hearsay. It's really very much like the story of the child who got a baseball scholarship because of, or in spite of, their participation in elite club sports. You always only know a small fraction of the story. Did the student have a disciplinary infraction on his record that you didn't know about? Which is not the end of the world, but it does require some additional essays. Did the student write a poor essay? Did the student have a social media post that presented her unfavorably? And yes, they check that, yet another reason to keep your child off social media. You really cannot know the full story. Here's another thing to put in as you're considering these stories. Colleges want high yield rates. Again, that's one of the criteria upon which they are ranked. So what's a yield rate? The percentage of students that they offer acceptance to who actually end up coming to the college, right? They want that number to be high too. There are clear criteria that a college can look at that will indicate to the college that this student isn't serious about coming here. If you hear about some star student that wasn't admitted to a school that isn't highly selective, it could very well be that the college looked at the student as overqualified, therefore unlikely to come to that college, and chose not to admit them. In other words, it's entirely possible for a great student to not be admitted to what they would consider a safety school because that school is concerned, reading the application, that student is unlikely to accept an offer of admission. So you simply cannot know the full story about why a student was or was not admitted. Let me suggest that you stick with what you do know, and that you trust that God is in control of this whole process. What He wills for your child cannot be thwarted, even by your child, you, or an admissions officer. Okay, one last word of advice. There's another myth out there that colleges are looking for well-rounded students. They are not. In pursuit of this myth, some students feel compelled to pursue everything. Heavy academics, lots of athletics, a role in the school play, tons of volunteer hours, and they run themselves ragged and don't have the time to go deep in any one thing, or really even to figure out what the one thing would be if they could go deep. Colleges are looking to admit a well-rounded class, not a bunch of well-rounded students. What's the difference? What they want is to find students who have followed their passions deeply. And they want to compile a class of students with different passions so that as a whole class, they are well-rounded together. If you think about this, you'll realize this makes sense. Passion cannot be spread to all areas of one's life. We all have things which fascinate and energize us, and other areas that drain us. We are all more interested when we're engaged in the things we love than when we're engaged in things that drain us. Colleges know this, and they want to attract students who know this and know themselves as well. We, as Christians, know that God created each of us for a purpose, and that purpose will bring us fulfillment that no other work will. This is one area where we agree with the colleges. So, the bottom line is, what does all of this mean? Our GPA scale does not hinder or help our graduates get into college. No GPA scale does. That's the bottom line. Why? Because colleges are just more sophisticated than that. If you've got questions about any of this or about how your school fits into the mix of the perceptions with which colleges perceive your graduates, please talk to your school's college advisor. Again, in our school, that's Shelley Ward, and she'll be happy to help. Okay, that's this first episode of Let's Talk. So if you feel a little bit less anxious than you did at the start, then that's what I hope to accomplish, and this was a success. Thank you for listening, and please feel free to share this if it was helpful.